the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. If he can say it, he can what? Do it. Hallelujah. But notice what he said. He said that when you make the long blast with the ram's horn. Now, that's why it's important for us to be in a position where we hear God and then where we're quiet before God, because we got to know when to react and when to act when God says act. I wish I had somebody in here. Because if they were talking, they weren't going to be able to yell at the same time. If they were talking, they were going to miss. And you know how sometimes when people trying to get your attention and you in the conversation with somebody and they really want your attention, say, may I have your attention, please? You still talking. Because you're trying to finish your conversation. They wouldn't have said or wouldn't have given the shout that they needed to give if somebody was trying to tell them about, oh, you remember we was over there in the wilderness the other day? Oh, I'm gonna finish telling you in a minute. I guess we better holler. That's not being on one accord. Now, he said, when you hear the blast, the long blast, in other words, when you hear the continued blast, when you hear the continued blast of music, when it don't stop. Ah, my God. That's when you begin to shout. Now, the word shout there means a joyful noise. Now, I wonder why, you know, he says, make sure it's a joyful noise and not just a scream. Just make some noise. Just, you know, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's with, scripture says, it is with joy that we draw from the wells of salvation. So if you need something, you got to have some joy, because joy is your bucket. Joy is your bucket that you may be able to dip from what God has for you. Oh, that's why Jesus said, I'll give you my joy, that your joy might be full and that your joy might remain. Because without joy, we have no strength. And without strength, we can't conquer. Without that, we can't do anything. We can't do the things that God wants us to do. We can't do anything without Jesus. Look at what he says now. I'm gonna get through. And the Bible says that they walked around for 6 days and they didn't say a word. They walked around and they were obedient. That's the first thing we got to understand, that our obedience is better than sacrifice. They were obedient to what Joshua said. They ain't getting mad and say, you know, Joshua, old man, we ain't got to listen to him. We can do our own thing and get this city. No, they listened to what Joshua said. And the Bible says that God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Do you know that God will be with each generation? God will.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody, 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 31. Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 31. Recorded are these words. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she received the spies with peace. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a few moments, I want to talk about a fascinating story of amazing grace through faith. A fascinating story through amazing grace through faith. My brothers and sisters, as we look at this word, it's interesting that in the midst of this hall of fame of faith, that they would put the story of a harlot, of a prostitute, of a woman of irrepute in the lineup with the people of faith, who was heathenistic in nature and nationality, whose practices, the very practices of her livelihood, went against the very fiber of the Word of God. How what she stood for was demeaning in every sense of the word to family life and wholesome living. And yet, she is included in the Hall of Fame of faith. One of the reasons why this story is so amazing is because it is true that God is no respecter of persons. This woman demonstrated great faith. This woman demonstrated that in spite of who she was and what she did, that when faith was stirred in her to move, she moved by faith. And one of the things that I want you to see also is it starts off by faith, spotlighting, highlighting the reality that the motive of this story is not about what she was, but about what she had. Her story is she had faith. Now, it's interesting because I do want to throw out that it says the harlot Rahab. And my brothers and sisters, there are some things we can do in life that the world will never let us forget about. You can be done grown up, grown old, and gone on. And they're still calling you what you used to be or what you used to do. Be careful what you do. Because names follow you. By faith, the harlot Rahab. So what does it do? It deals first with her past, the harlot. That was her past. But it was in her past that her faith was activated. You see, the truth of the matter is all of our faith is activated in our past. In other words, before we accept Jesus, we were what we were. We did what we did, went where we went. We were who we were, and all of that was in sin. And when we accepted him, we were in sin. So the truth of the matter is, her past may be of a different action, but it was no different from our past. Everybody has a past. Turn to your neighbor and say, everybody has a past. Turn to your other neighbor and say, everybody has a past. Say, yeah, you too, boo. That's for you holier than thou rulers who act like you ain't never had a past. And maybe you might not have a past. You might still be present in what should be past. But the record is, it deals with her past. It's a fascinating story about amazing grace through faith. What this story ought to do, my brothers and sisters, is set someone up here today who feel like they have lived one of the worst lives, done some of the worst things, missed it by far, fallen short, have come short of expectations in life, not who they should be, ought to be, or were planning to be, to understand that there's still hope for you if there's blood running in your veins. That God can still use you. God can still turn you around. That in spite of you, God can still do great things through you. That's why the church has to be so careful in how we treat folk that God rescues from a wicked world. That's why some of us must be careful how we look at folk, how we speak about folk, how we treat folk. Some of us must be careful about our witness when we act like we are all of that and holier than thou, and the very actions of our own witness say that we ain't all we ought to be. And so many times we have got to be careful that what the world sees is real and is right. Now, here's why I'm saying this, because this record gives us to know, and you find this story in the second chapter of Joshua, which is actually the story before the walls of Jericho fell down, which in Hebrews, the walls fell down first, and then here this story comes second. But chronologically, this story comes first, and then the walls of Jericho fall down, which is in the 30th verse of Hebrews 11. And there is a reason for that, and I want us to understand it. Here, Joshua assigns some spies to assess the city. And to assess the city, to bring back the report again. In the 5th chapter, 13th verse, he meets up with an angel who goes on to tell him to take off his shoes from off his feet because he's standing on holy ground, and was consecrating him and getting him ready to discharge the duties that he would enact. And so when he gets all of that straight, he then moves on to tell them what he needed them to do. And so they go to the city to spy out the city. They come to the city, and they wind up at Rahab's house. Now, Rahab's house was connected to the wall of Jericho. Rahab's house was convenient for her patrons. Yeah, Rahab's house was good for sneaking folk in, because she would let them out her window down the wall. And that's how some big name folks, some dignitaries, some folk who shouldn't have been in Rahab's house got in and out her house. Y'all gonna talk with me a little while here? And a Rahab was well known. When the travelers passed by, that was a common notice. Her advertisement was a red or crimson thread in the window. Most persons who solicited her services, and women like hers, knew whenever that was a thread of red in the window, that was a house to be welcomed in. The spies, however, goes into Rahab's house, but not for harlotry, but rather for holiness. These men went in to spy the city, but it was noised that these holy men had come into the city to spy the land out, to check it out, to go back and to make a report. And that word had gotten to the king that they were in the city. And guess whose house the king sends word to see if they were at? Rahab. But Rahab had been fellowshipping with the holy men. And see, I need to tell you, no matter where you are, if you let your little light shine, you can light up darkness. Listen, I don't care where you go, who you are should be the same reality, whether it's behind closed doors or standing in the town square. If you are a child of God, you are a child of God. And they carried themselves as such, so much so that Rahab was moved, impressed with these men and their gods. So while they had been sent on an assignment of assessment, that was an alliance of affiliation that grew between Rahab, the representatives of Joshua and God, and her relatives. This is kind of sort of how it went. Rahab was talking to them and telling them, I know why you're here. You've come to spy out the city. It's been talked about all around the city about the great acts of your God, how he brought you through the Red Sea, how he took care two kings up the road, how he did this and that. And look what she further goes on to say, and the people's heart failed because of the power of your God. And we know that God has given you all the city. Now, she's telling them all of that. They didn't have to go much further than Rahab's house to assess what was going on the inside of the city. You know some folk like that that know everything about everything and about everybody. You make one stop and get it all. Rahab's house was kind of like one of them one-stop houses. Whatever you need, Rahab's got it. And so there in Rahab's house, they got all of the information they needed to take back to Joshua and tell him what it was. Now, here's the interesting thing. Rahab was also a businesswoman. Rahab realized that, you know what, this is a unique situation. And if I've got any sense about me, I'd help these men out. But if I help them out, sense tells me I need to get them to help me out. Now, since they're going to be the rightful owners of the city, and I've been blessed to have them come to my house and have an audience with them, maybe I ought to get myself in good position with them. And so now she makes an agreement with them. If I spare your life, when you all come to take the city, all I want you to do is spare my life. But not just my life. I want you to spare my mother and my father, my sisters and my brothers, my relatives' life. Here's what the spies say. Tell you what, Rahab, if you keep us safe and get us in and out of the city with no harm coming to us, when we come back to take the city, we will spare your house. But here is what they said now, because they did have conditions to the situation. They say, first thing we need to do is make sure your red thread is in the window so that everybody will know this is Rahab's house. But the second thing I need you to do is when we come to take over the city and destroy the city, tell your mama, your daddy, your sisters, and your brothers and your family folk stay in the house. Because if they come out of the house and our soldiers, while taking over the city, kills them, their blood is on their own hand. But if they stay in the city and harm comes to them, then we'll take care of it and the blood will be on our hand. Rahab said, you've got a deal. Now listen to this. This was a masterful agreement. Not only was it a masterful agreement, but it was a mutual agreement because both sides benefited from the agreement. Now, my brothers and sisters, here's where the sixth chapter of Joshua comes in, when the story is told about Joshua giving commandment to the children of Israel, how he put the armed men before those who blew the ram's horns, who was before the covenant of the ark, and then the people that followed, and they marched around the walls once on the first day, and then once every day except the seventh day. And on the seventh day, they marched seven times, and the walls fell down flat, the word says. And the children of Israel had command not to spare anything except the gold and the silver and those things that would be consecrated to God. But every man, every woman, every child, and every beast would be destroyed except Rahab's house. And my brothers and my sisters, it was through this amazing act of faith that grace overtook Rahab. Grace. Well, you know, it doesn't sound all of that exciting, but you got to know that it was a great time in Rahab's life, because in the midst of that faith, Rahab became rehabbed. It was in this time of her faith being demonstrated in God's amazing grace, a prostitute would be the one who would save the spies, who in turn would be the ones who'd save her house and her family, because in the midst of that time, from the time they made the agreement, the grace of God came upon her. And not only was she then amenable to the things of God, not only did she desire to be like the people of God, but here we have a prostitute who became a proselyte. I told you she was rehabbed. She wanted to be a child of the Most High God and dwell with the people of the Most High God and be one of them. So a prostitute then became a proselyte in being rehabbed. Don't tell me what God can't do and who God cannot save when he wants to. Well, what further makes this story not only masterful and mutual, but meaningful is the fact that after Rahab had become rehabbed, prostitute turned proselyte, that hearts started beating individually as one. You see, when God changes you and fixes you, it causes folk to see you in a different way. Because history shows us that one of the spies that was in Rahab's house, that was a holy man in a whorish house, remained holy. And that touched Rahab's heart. But when Rahab had become rehabbed, that touched the holy man's heart. And his name was Salmon. And Salmon was from one of the highest families in the tribe of Judah. And he was also a priest. And my brothers and sisters, the priest wound up marrying the prostitute. I'm trying to tell you, this story gets more amazing as you search it out. But that's not even the most important thing, the most amazing thing. Here, when Salmon and Rahab married, they produced Boaz. Boaz. Boaz married Ruth, but Ruth was of the same lineage with Tamar and Bathsheba, who also had family ties to the family business. It wasn't no mistake when Bathsheba went down and bathed by the pool of David's upper balcony, that she let down her robe and bathed with a body that was perfect in every dimension. She knew what she was doing. It was in her bloodline. Ruth married Boaz. She knew what she was doing when she went there and caught the eye of Boaz. She knew how to catch a man's eye. And Boaz married Ruth, and together they produced Obed, and Obed produced Jesse, and Jesse produced David. Are y'all gonna pray me just a little while? The great king of Israel. And then if I had time to walk it on down through all of the generations, you do know that's where Jesus came from. And Mary. Well, no wonder they thought it was strange that Mary got pregnant before she got married, because it was in her. But grace! Look beyond the faults of those past, and through that same line brought the Holy Son of God, Jesus Christ. So the next time you look at somebody,